Good morning, Adam White. Because that's what I'm about to do. Good morning, Adam White.
Good morning, Daniel Harford.
Most happy with us.
That's good.
I've never been less interested in cricket in my life, and I'm not sure why. It's the first SMS this morning.
It's not very nice.
I think it's a general, it's a sentiment echoed by a few in the public, in the sporting public at the moment. I think that's an interesting conversation. I'm certainly interested. I'll be watching, and I'm sure Crazy will too, because he's a sports nut, as we know, through his contribution to the program. But I think there's an apathy towards this summer, the way it started anyway. I'm not sure we're in cricket mode. I think it's interesting, the whole thing. Cricket goes 12, everything goes 12 months now. And like the whole calendar of everything is chockers. But I think we as sports fans are still very seasonal. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And we don't really get involved in the build-up and the hype and the passion of the contest until we're ready for it sort of seasonally, traditionally and seasonally.
But traditionally, the test summer started on Oaks Day.
Not since when?
Quite often.
Since first, when?
Quite often, the first test in Brisbane
was on Oaks Day.
It started on Oaks Day. So you'd be, I remember many times being at Flemington between races in the media room, or even there were TVs at the back in the bookies area with the cricket on. So that would often be the case. Yeah, because Boxing Day is usually the fourth test and Sydney is usually the fifth test. So there are three test matches. This is if it's a traditional five-test series over the years, where you would have Brisbane, you would then have Perth, and you would then have Adelaide, and then you'd have, this is in more, say, the last 20 years. Before that, Adelaide was always Australia Day weekend and all those sorts of things. But Brisbane would be the first one. Now, I've been at Brisbane test matches where the commentary was, oh, we're not ready for test cricket, it's too early, all these sorts of things, when it was held in early November.
Mm.
So I don't think it is too early to be thinking test cricket.
So was it? Is it too early, is it too much cricket then?
I think it's too much cricket. I mean, we've had a T20 World Cup, which kind of started in September and took up all of October and November. So there has already been a lot of test cricket, a lot of international cricket. Yeah. But I think it's largely due to, the perception of cricket's on the nose a little bit at the moment. The Langer thing, all those sorts of things. And then when it's against the West Indies, now if West Indies are bowling first today, it's likely to be all over in 3 days. But it is in Perth, and that is a good television
time zone. Eastern Seaboard. Yep.
And I think you'll find that the ratings will be very big for the cricket. It's just unfortunate with cricket, as I said, on the nose a little bit at the moment, that we've now got the West Indies, where Australia should win comfortably, that there's going to be a bit of a meh about it. And there's also going to be a bit of death riding them as well. But it's against the West Indies, so I just can't see, under any circumstances, how Australia don't win and don't win easily.
SMS asking how many I made in the T20 last night, now thumping. Oh. A golden blob for me last night.
Oh, no. Is this a slump?
No, no, it's we had too much work to do.
Oh, come on.
Too much work to do. 12 and over. And I wasn't ready. No, 12 and over, golden blob for me. No good. Got done by 30 runs to Burwood last night in the T20. Actually, I bowled all right.
Was that Burwood?
No, it was at Cooper's Reserve in Camberwell. Close to home. It's very good, very convenient, it must have been. But not a great performance by the D's last night, the mighty Dinas. So Bill were too good for us last night in the T20 Golden Blob, but I did bowl very, very well. Got things back on track after we were 60. They were none for 60 after 5. I thought, oh, that's it. We're in trouble here.
They really made use of the power play.
They did make use of the power play. And I may have done my string again. Not sure.
Jeez,
which is bad for our contest perhaps next week.
Oh, come on, Daniel.
I've just given you a string update.
I haven't even thought about that in recent times. Oh, big Media 11 game next week.
Well, there might be an even bigger one now because there might be a star out of the team. No. A big star out of the team.
Now, I'm in a bit of a predicament.
What's happened?
Morning.
What's happened?
So I've had to borrow my wife's car this morning.
Oh, not again. Not the keys.
There is, it is a key-related not story. Not the keys. But I'm sure there are people that can relate to this story.
I'd be surprised.
So, no. Well, maybe not. So the kids have got curriculum day today, or yes. report writing day.
Yeah, Wilbur's got the day off today, too.
And,
which is ridiculous, because he finishes on Friday. Come on, man.
I think it's for the younger people, maybe, that are still at school for a bit longer. Anyway.
Right, sorry.
So Emma, being a teacher, she's at school today, so I've orchestrated things a little bit, but I've got to get home and look after the children. That's fine. So I've had to borrow Emma's car. That's a bigger car with car seats and all that sort of business.
Right.
And I've used the key.
You don't sit in the car seat, though, do you?
No. Emma probably needs to. Well, she's not very big.
Slap.
Anyway. So I've taken the individual spare key to use the car.
Yeah.
And it's one of those cars where you press the button, you don't have to put it into the ignition.
Yeah. Not many. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So as I've got out of the car to come to work.
Yeah.
And I've parked on the street.
Today. Just out the front here. Yeah.
As I've got out of the car, the key has tumbled out of my pocket and has gone down the side of the seat.
Right.
And while I came in a bit late this morning.
You missed leg day. I did notice you were absent from the gym this morning.
I couldn't get the key. And I still can't get the key. It's stuck down the side of the console. It's been
in between the seat and the door sort of thing?
No. The middle section.
Oh, middle section. Okay.
So I'm burying my hands in, trying to get the key out, all that sort of thing, just only literally minutes ago. And I'm trying to move the seat and all sorts of things. At one point, the horn goes off because I'm getting...
the horn goes off.
But I can't get it. Now, you know what the problem is?
You need to get into the car?
No.
Well, no, you don't, because it's already there.
It's there. And anyone can just sit in the car and drive off because the key's in the car and it doesn't need to go in the ignition to start.
So you just told them where it is, which is probably a bad sign.
So it's a real watch and act. There'll be alert situation. Where at least we can see the car from where we are at the moment.
Well, that's true. We have a view to the car. So when they drive off, we'll be able to wave.
I cannot. I have to go out like in every ad break, I think, have a crack at trying to get it, and then come back.
I don't think that's going to work.
What am I going
to
do?
You're just going to have to cop it, just sit there and just wait to the end of the show.
Need to go and put someone on.
A good friend's building the tunnel will be looking out. Just get someone out there just to sort of watch an act and stand over it for you.
I don't know how I'm going to get it out. It's stuck in such a spot. I don't know.
Where was it? Was it in your pocket? The key, did you say?
No, it was in the console next to. It's a stupid thing. Because you should put it in the key. Because you're like, what do you do with it?
Put it in your pocket.
Well, it was in the console. And then I go to get the... the keys. I go, reach over, get the key, try and get it out of the console. In a bit of a rush, sort of topples over down the side. And that's where it is.
Do you open the back door?
Stupid.
And look under the seat? That's where you've got to go.
No, I tried that.
You tried?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a problem.
I know where it is. I can't get it.
The external sort of accessory key that you've used today, just the key alone by itself, is that what you said?
Yes.
That's straight in the pocket. No worries. Well, don't need to worry about anything.
In hindsight, yes. That's a good idea. Send Steve down to try and get the key.
That's a great idea. Stephen could do that for you. If he really loved you, he would do that.
What I'm saying, if people understand what's going on, it's a dire situation.
A dire situation. Well, let's cheer you up. There's balloons everywhere.
I did notice that as I was driving in.
Did you see them on the way in?
Absolutely, I did.
I did not, although I was in the gym. 8 balloons, we're being told. I'm being told off the SMS there are 8 balloons somewhere at the moment. That is magnificent stuff. There's 3 up over Lilydale. There's 4 over Collingwood. And there's another one somewhere. So that is I think that's a world record. I don't think we've ever had 8. I've seen 6 through the city here.
It's a really good week weather-wise, which is absolutely sensational because it is it's Australian Open week here in Melbourne. There's Sheffield Shield cricket Thursday to Sunday, so it's great.
Who are we playing?
New South Wales.
Are you calling the action?
It's going to be a big week.
Why is that?
Well, Greg Shepherd
yes.
has taken over as interim coach of New South Wales. Now, Greg Shepherd.
I did say that yesterday,
was coach of Victoria for a long time. And only last week, Greg Shepherd came and presented his Campbell Calloway with his cap and talked about the importance of Victorian cricket and got in the circle. He's right in the inner sanctum of it all.
Yep.
And a week later, he's now coaching against them.
So who got the sack?
Phil Jakes, who, former Australian Test opener.
Yes.
A very popular figure in New South Wales cricket. They only won the title, the White Ball and Red Ball title, only a couple of years ago. They've had a rough start to this year. And he's gone effective immediately, which is surprising considering there's only this one Shield game to go until there is a gap for
the
BBL.
Great. Yeah. How come no one knows that?
I don't know. No, it's public. It's been announced.
Well, I don't think it's been big enough that the coach of New South Wales has been sacked effective immediately.
And then the Victorian coach comes in.
And then Shippy. I did see Shippy take that role. I was wondering how that came about, but you've cleared that up for us, so that's excellent news. Good question off the SMS. What's the make and colour of the car, Whitey? That's an FYI.
There are two people. Jason is one, and there is a no name of the other, suggesting the same thing. Use a ruler to gouge it out.
Yes.
That's an excellent idea, one of those old wooden 30-centimetre rulers.
Why does it have to be wooden? Why can't it be plastic?
Because I reckon I'd snap it. You'd need it as wood.
We just snap it.
But I don't have a 30-centimetre wooden ruler just sitting in the car, do I?
No, but what you've got when you get home, because you'll get home, no drama, the kids are at home, just use small hands, as someone picks up off this mess. Little hands, little bodies, you get the key for you, no dramas.
No, I think as I was trying to get it, I really sort of jammed it into a
position. Yeah, but small hands will be able to do some unjamming. Sure. I think there's merit in both of those suggestions. Sam at Swan Hill wants to give you some more feedback on this. Good morning, Sam. Where's Sammy? Sammy, are you with us?
Yeah, same thing. Whitey, if you've got a ruler, you'd have a ruler in the office. Just lean over the front seat, flick the ruler in there till you hit it, and just flick it either way. And simple, because it's just happened to me not long ago.
Yeah, so you have done the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, simple, mate.
Okay.
Did you have just the isolated key, Sam, or was there a couple of other keys sort of floating around on the key ring?
Actually, it was my daughter's little key thing to get into the garage.
Yes.
Just a little button, you know.
Oh, yeah, the Dubalaki.
Is it a V or a B?
Yeah, the little remote, you know, with the three...
Yeah, I'm with you.
Is it a Dubalaki or a Dubalaki?
Yeah, it's a Duva, isn't it? It's a V.
It's
a Dubalaki, yeah.
A jigger.
Good on you, Sammy. Nice to chat, mate. Have a great Christmas for you and the family up there. Sammy said
thanks, Sam.
Thanks. So there'll be a rule. It's a good point. There'll be a rule around here somewhere. There'll be some piece of firmness, a short piece of firmness floating around, I reckon. It might be a couple around here. You just never know where you'll find a small piece of firmness. I reckon the ruler, there'll be one of those around here somewhere. There's in the stationery room, in the printer room and all that.
Wouldn't be so sure.
It's next to HR. You'll find it.
Where there'll be liquid paper and all that sort of stuff. I've got a question for you as we go to the hour. And I'm going to ask Al the same question.
We'll get to the hour after the break, by the way.
Or after the break. Okay, so this question. My question is, what was the first thing that you saved up for as a kid? It's not that funny.
No, just an SMS came in. Do an insurance job instead of the light. That made me laugh. What was the question?
What was the first thing you saved up for as a kid?
Oh, right, I'll get an answer for that after the break. How much, Billy? Yes, I think you might be right. 21-7 on a Wednesday morning. Glorious morning in Melbourne Town. Balloons over Hawthorne as well. I'm being told from Paul and Glenaris. Nice work. I can't see any out of the window. That's the distressing part. But there's eight up and about, I reckon. B Billy Idol's welcoming us to Wednesday morning, and who doesn't love Billy on a Wednesday? Mark Stevens is a Billy man, I'm sure, as a rocker from the old days. Good morning, Stephen.
Yeah, I am half, no doubt. So Eyes Without a Face, probably more my go, but this is a great song. And White Wedding.
What's that? What's Eyes Without a Face? Is that a song?
Yeah, another song by Billy. Right. White Wedding was a good one.
Yeah, White Wedding. I could
sort
have played that.
The lip that curled up, the top upper lip, as if it's sort of been caught.
A little bit of Elvis.
Like a fish with a hook in the lip.
Yeah, a little bit of Elvis lip going on for Billy.
I love Billy Idol. Still going around. A great cameo on Wedding Singer.
Yes, yes.
On the airplane.
That's true. That's true.
One of the ultimate iconic movies. Again, Adam Sandler just nailed that one.
Well, he got to shut the trolley in the right spot to stop the man getting back to his girl.
I don't think you'd call it iconic.
I think it is from a comedy perspective, yep. Yep. No, well, I'm a Sandler man.
Well, yeah, I think that's more the point. I think you're an Adam Sandler man, and you think it's iconic. It's a good flick. It's a good cheesy flick with a bit of fun and frivolity. And Billy was in it, as you said, but he made his name as an English singer. He's rocking out, he was. Several Australian hits, including Your Mate White Wedding, Rebel Yell the year after, 83 and 84. To Be a Lover, Stephen?
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
He comes across as a very angry man, doesn't he? He really sings with anger.
He played a role in his lead guitar.
He's more just a role, yeah. Just a personality role, sort of.
Lead guitarist. Character. Steve Stevens. Uncle Steve was lead guitarist.
Was he?
Yep.
You reckon if his mum and dad had their time again, probably not Steve? Steve Stevens?
I'm not sure that was his real name either.
Stage name of Steve Stevens. Oh, that's a controversial manoeuvre. Billy's having a birthday today, or as we like to call him back in the hood when I grew up with Billy, William Broad.
Right.
Chris's brother. He's having a birthday today, is our man Billy. How old is William Broad, Billy Idol, Stephen?
Ooh, time's rolling on for Billy. I'd say he is, believe it or not, 72.
72 for William.
68.
68 for William. One of you is in the window. It is you, Whitey, again. Bad week for you, Stephen. This is sort of your wheelhouse too, this sort of rocker stuff. 67 today for Billy Idol. Happy birthday to Billy. Who else is having a birthday today? Kat Stewart, Australian actress. She was in everything for a little while.
She played Roberta Williams in Underbelly.
Underbelly, yep. She was in one of those. What's the other one she's in recently?
She was in that one with Asha Keddie. It was quite popular.
Anyway, she's having a birthday. She's 50. I wouldn't have thought she was 50. Her birthday to Kat. Kaley Cuoco is a US actress. Was very popular in the long-running TV sitcom The Big Bang Theory. She's 37 today. Sapora Melka.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Previously known as Kate Fisher. Yeah. She's having a birthday
still not
today.
Convinced it's the same person.
49 today for Sapora. Wayne Rabbits Bartholomew, Australian surfer, is 67 today. The World Surfing Champion, 78 and 79. And the old man champion in 2003. And Sir Ridley Scott's having a birthday today. The English film director and producer.
Alien,
correct. Correct where he made his name. Blade Runner, bit of Gladiator stuff with Russell Crowe. He's 85 today. Happy birthday to anyone having a birthday today. It means tomorrow it's the new bulletin because November has finished. Stephen, what did you say for first up when you were a kid?
It was a single, actually. I think the Owls got it. It was a great song called By the Buggles, and I bought it at Cryo Village Shopping Town, one of the great shopping centres of the world, when I was living in Geelong. I think it was 1979. Absolute classic.
What did that cost you?
I think it was 99 cents at the time. It was one of the...
It's not really a savings plan, is it?
No, you're probably right.
It's not really a savings plan.
It's the first thing I bought with my own money.
Did you put on lay-by?
Singles were cheap.
Sort of. I need something a bit bigger. Can you take me to something where you've had to sort of put some stuff away in the piggy bank on the bed?
Six-month type of
It would have been a bicycle. It was a Gold Cross...
There you go. Now we're talking.
You bought that. That wasn't Father Christmas type.
Wasn't a McDonald's soft serve cone?
No. But I was thinking the first thing I bought with my own. I was so proud with that.
It's what you saved up for as opposed to
just bought with a dollar.
I had to save up, though.
It's a dollar, mate.
Yeah.
By the way, my mum's just texted. She said that she still got the red Foxtel pass. Is it still valid?
My mum and dad had a waterbed. It was aspirational.
The fact you still got it concerns me. The fact that you put them out for sale.
My mum will be on A Current Affair in the next couple of years for hoarding.
So mid to late 80s, the waterbeds were a big thing.
So your mum and dad had one?
Yeah, they had one. Yeah, I mean, it used to lie
in Shep.
It was they were so proud of themselves.
They would have been celebrities.
Yeah. And something went wrong, though, at like Whitey, there was a piercing. And there might have been some leakage. So once that happens,
once it's hard to come back from
there. You
can't
come back. There's no repair. It's not like a patch.
No, you have a repair kit.
Yeah,
right?
A repair kit. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You glue it.
Yeah,
but it's
like a puncture.
It's never the same.
We're supposed to be good for the lumbar region or whatever, but now everything's hard, like a futon.
People can criticise me as much as they like, and they are. And I don't care, because people that are criticising never had one. They are outstanding.
Well, look at you now.
Well, look at me.
Look at your
picture of health.
You're falling to bits. You're falling to bits.
Yeah, because I don't have it anymore.
Oh, now you're blaming the bed. Now you're blaming the bed. Right. I can't believe you saved up for a single and it cost you a dollar, and that was the story you told.
Yeah, well, it's the first thing I bought with my own money.
It's quite something. What's going on, Stephen?
Well, obviously the draft last night, it dragged on a little bit, I've got to say, you know, the 4 minutes and the interviews. But the great story was, of course, the Davey twins. We kind of knew it was happening. But this is a steal. So Elwin Jr., finally a bid from Hawthorn at 45, so Essendon matched that. And Jaden, his twin brother, went at 54. Now, I've seen a lot of both these kids, and I believe Jaden has more upside even than Elwin, so they've got him at 54. The only issue is a couple of knee injuries that he's coming off.
Well,
both of them are just powerhouses, though, and we'll talk to Dale Amos soon about this. So I just think that particularly Elwin, given he's fresh and fit at the moment without any injury concerns, I think certainly a chance to play round one. I think he can come straight on. He's far more developed. Yeah, he's far more than developed than, say, a Wanganeen last year, who was a bit more of a surprise. So these guys are the real deal. So I think Adrian Dodoro's driven home last night, your mate Whitey, pretty happy with himself.
So they could have two Davies, a Wanganeen, and then a McDonald Tip and Woody inside 50. Interesting.
But they're so bargain buys.
I was watching it with my kids last night, and James was, is he a bargain buy or is he a bolter? Every time I play.
But it was amazing. Like Mick Ablett, he's in love with the world at the moment. Everybody's a great player. Everybody's a great person. And I actually felt a better person after watching the coverage, because there's not a bad person in the world. No, he was.
Are you having a crack at Mick Ablett, who I thought was outstanding with his information?
He was very, very positive, outstanding with his information. And I think he and Shifter complimented each other beautifully. They had to fill the 4 minutes, you know, which is hard. But I also say that you can have a little bit of silence at times. You don't have to talk
on TV, you
forever.
Can you?
I think you can.
Not sure you can. It's bad for TV when they're sitting there saying nothing.
The interesting to me with the draft was how much passing there was late. And when you think of the trade period where they do all the trading of late picks.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, we'll give you such and such for, you know, pick 71 and pick 68. They didn't even use them anyway.
No,
We've got the rookie draft coming up.
Well, it's exciting.
Yeah, so no, it's great. And I've really enjoyed the last couple of nights, actually, just to see the kids, the joy in the kids. A lot of kids speechless when they're asked to talk, which is fair enough.
I think there's a bit too much carry on with the jumping on top of each other and all that sort of thing. Like, it was
good. The mates get around.
I think it was good the first couple, you're right.
And now it's like they're trying to outdo each other of how spectacular they could be.
Yeah, it works the first couple of times. But no, I think Fox did a great job of what can at times be a pretty dry event, Half.
Oh, there's no arguments from me. I wish them all the best, all those young men.
I had my waterbed since I was 18, now 54. Changed the bladder once and I've never had back problems. So there you go. That's off the text.
Much to my wife's disgust is the follow-up text from that same person.
Magooly's had a
one bladder change. That's not bad.
Magooly's had a waterbed as well. Loves it. Loved it.
Some unusual people out there.
And a little bit of controversy around Sydney, Half. I mean,
what's happened to them?
Well, they've made people earn it. Clubs are calling them Bidney because they've been bidding. Obviously.
Bidney?
Yeah. So right, round one, of course, the first night, Harry Rouston and Max McAlay, they bid on. And last night, they swooped on Cooper Vickery, a Hawthorn NGA player, before pick 40, which meant they could get him. So good on Sydney, I say.
Good
on. It shouldn't be a gentleman's agreement where you let people slip through. And I was surprised that nobody bid earlier on Elwyn Davies. So, look, if you
seem to be quite taken by Elwyn Davies.
You're all over the Davies.
No, I've seen enough.
You're all over the Davies. Are you having a little cashy sort of incentive scheme with them?
You know, when you've seen enough, certainly school footy, and I know that Whitey remembers a lot about Heath school footy and some of the players that he saw. So
I don't remember my school footy.
We don't remember anything.
That's true.
Who went pick 7 before you, Huff?
No one cares. Or after. It was all about me.
Was there any? When you got drafted, where were you? It was just a matter of being trying to dial up online, or
We were at the what was it? Place on St Kilda Road used to be. Was it Crown
Chasers?
No, the hotel on St Kilda Road across Melbourne Southern Park. North. Southern. Anyway, it was there. It was
the Carousel?
No, a hotel.
Like across the road from Albert Park. Queens Road?
Queens Road, yeah.
Yeah.
I know the one you're talking about. I can't think of it.
A lot of footy clubs.
It's the something
right
park, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Brisbane it's Lions. Something
it's
else.
No, it's changed its name now. But we were the second ever televised draft.
The Pullman now?
Oh, that one, the Park View. Was that one? That's where the Brisbane Lions.
So how did you find out, Half? Was it online at that stage?
No, as I just said to you, you weren't listening. We were the second ever televised draft, and I was there with my broken leg.
Right. Yep.
Interviewed by Sandy Roberts.
All right. We might go to the 7.
No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that.
Best name in the draft, Steely Green.
Yeah, great name. Great.
It's a shame he didn't get to Collingwood. Steel and Steely. Steely Dan, obviously, now we call
him. Steely Dan, we'll call him Dan, yep. No, Steely Green with the Tigers.
Our man Joe Richards from the Wangaratta Magpies got picked up. Went a bit later than we expected at pick 48, so the Magpies got him. So our man Ben Reed,
is he a bargain?
Very happy. Look, I think he is because, again, 23-year-old, probably ready to go round one. He's won league best and fairest. He's won club best and fairest.
Good to you. There's 44 players playing in every team in round one.
Oh, he's a good player. But you know that some guys are ready.
Well, he's clearly ready, physically.
And clearly ready, I think, Jennifer Watt, which is great news, I think, CEO of North Melbourne Half.
Yep.
So they made a call there. She narrowly pipped Simon Lloyd, senior executive at the MCC.
Simon Lloyd was, everyone said, was done.
Yeah, I was watching him last night thinking,
he was going to be the man.
Well, saw him in the cat's room there. He'd probably be a bit flat, I would have thought, because it would have been a good career move for him.
Story coming out yesterday, one of the journalists, can't remember who it was, saying that they did a bit of a last-minute check with a couple of sources and that they said he wasn't ready, which is interesting. But go back to Jen. Well, she was in Melbourne for a little while, wasn't she?
Yeah, she had strong links to Peter Jackson at Melbourne, of course, who came in to transform the Demons. And Peter Jackson had a role in this.
He has a role in this, didn't he?
In this.
Yeah,
so
okay. That
was helpful. So she's certainly highly rated. I think Ricky Nixon, she might have started at flying start with Ricky.
The chicken!
So the chicken done the job there. So she was a key marketing type person, then went to the MCC under Stuart Fox. So I think won one of the scholarships. Might have gone to Harvard, I think, half, which tends to happen these days.
Ricky?
No, I don't think Ricky did. He went to the School of Life.
The School of Life.
And just finally, Cody Waitman's got the famous number 3 at the Bulldogs. So Mitch Wallace, of course, has departed the kennels. So he'll have Chris Grant, EJ Witten's number. I think it's a great tradition, that. But it hasn't always worked out. Andres Everett got the number 3 there for a while and ended up at the Blues. Didn't quite make it at the Dogs.
Can happen. It can happen. But I think Cody will be fine taking hangers and kicking snags for the Doggies in the number 3. That's a nice thing. By the way, I want to give the Doggies a bit of a pump up for one of the social media posts they put out.
Yes, it's good.
But taking them inside the room for the conversation pre-draft meeting. Well, nothing staged, just a camera in the room talking about players, and they talked about bustling it.
Yep.
More of that stuff, please. Let us in.
Yep, we'll
that's good stuff. That's the exactly the content we want.
I think we'll have him on later this week, early next week. I know you're taken by the buzz.
No, I probably don't need to talk to him, but it was just good. it was just good vision. It was good content. Right. If you're going to give us good stuff, don't manufacture it. Just put the camera there and let it all unfold. I like that.
As this text says, you turn up the heater in the waterbed in winter, beautiful, and then in summer, turn it down, cool, no dramas.
Yeah. Do you ever use a water bottle?
Do you know what there is now over there on the outside of the desk? There's a real justification system going on for your waterbed.
Half and Whitey. This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
Hey, Whitey, we know the first test is on today in Perth. It's 1:20 on your screens, 2 o'clock first ball local time. So if you are listening in other parts of the country, which we think is a magnificent thing, just by the way.
I think it might be 1:30 first ball. That's what I'm thinking.
Really?
Yeah, because 1:30 that goes to 8:30, the extra half hour gets to 9 o'clock. That's what it usually is.
Are you telling me there's a 10-minute build-up on the coverage?
Well, I...
That can't be right. That can't be right!
I do think the first ball is at 1:30, because that's what it usually is. Because that's 10:30 local, which is in line with what would happen in Melbourne and Sydney. And as I said, it's always that 8:30 finish... Schedule extra half hour gets to 9 o'clock.
Well, I'm disappointed by that. If we've got a whole channel dedicated to cricket, basically, and we've got a 10-minute build up to the first test of a big summer of Australian cricket, I will be flat about that. I want graphs, I want charts, I want things,
screens,
I want weather walls, I want all that stuff. That's what I want. And you're telling me I'm not going to get that.
Well, maybe the coverage starts earlier than what is suggested on your guide.
I want to get back to that conversation, because I want you to go through the 11 and make sure you've got the team in order, batting order, for the first test today between Australia and the West Indies. But we'll turn our attention back to the world of football for a second, because Matheus Filippou has ended up at the St Kilda Football Club. He was picked 10, a big unit too. I saw him on the screen the other night. He's a big unit. And they tell us he's a good personality as well. So let's find out. The young man joins us on the line. Good morning, Matheus.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Good on you, buddy. Nice to have you with us. What's your world been like the last 48 hours? Talk us through it.
My head's been spinning. I've had that many different emotions. I can't even remember them all, to be honest with you. I can't remember everything that's happened, but it's been extremely surreal. I've met a ton of all-time legends at the club already, and some new teammates as well. So it's been amazing.
What were you expecting going into the draft? Were you expecting to go 10 to St Kilda? Adrian Dodoro, we spoke to him yesterday. He was talking about picking you up at 5. What were your expectations leading in?
Yeah, I didn't have any expectations. I was very, very unsure if, just like everyone else, if who was going to end up at Essendon. But seeing Cal's fandom guide, knowing he got, 13 right last year, 12 right last year, I was pretty confident that, that would probably be the way that it would pan out. So,
what was the thing that surprised you the most in the whole last few days, Matheus?
Probably the facilities at St Kilda. But I don't know what I was expecting, but they just absolutely blew me away. It's unbelievable down there.
Okay. And I know you've spoken about it a little bit, but that first meeting with Ross Lyon, he can be a daunting figure. How did that all go for you?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I remember walking in and I was trying to spot him at the back, and he was looking away from me at the time, and I didn't realise it was him, so he turned around, and as he turned around, he was right in my face. I love him. Oh my gosh, that was it just kind of took me by surprise. But he gave me a big hug, and I wasn't expecting that. So not cuddly Ross. He speaks about it, but it was awesome. It was awesome.
So that's not going to be a normal thing. The whole catch up sort of hug program with you and Ross, is that not normal?
No, I got one more in as I left, just in case.
So there was a lot of talk about you in the coverage. I must admit, I watched the top 10 quite intently, and I saw your name pop up, and I saw how big you were compared to Jack Steele. It's always a good reference point. What do you think you can be in terms of positional play with the Saints 2023 and beyond, I suppose?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure, to be honest. I think the main focus for me going into this year is probably just putting in the work. I spoke to Ross, and he was very confident that if I, put the effort in, that, I'll get an opportunity. So, yeah, I think, if I put the work in, that'll take care of itself. And hopefully, whether that's down forward or on a wing or pinch hit in the midfield, we'll have to see.
Who are your heroes growing up?
Yeah, Dad was definitely atop the list. He wasn't as, all-time great as some of the guys I met yesterday, but... just as a man and as a person, he was awesome for me.
Yeah, great. And moving to Melbourne, I mean, obviously there's not too many teams in South Australia, so you knew that chances are, the percentages were going to say that you're going to have to move away from home. That you were comfortable with that early doors, or did that take some adjusting to mentally in the last couple of months?
Yeah, I think it did. Coming into the year, I did have a pretty good understanding that it was probably going to be, you know, the likelihood if I did put my name up the draft board. So, you know, I knew I would have to come to terms with it. But, you know, after being to St Kilda yesterday, I didn't really want to go home after that. I just wanted to get, started into it. So, you know, I don't think I'm going to have any trouble. The boys are very supportive and, you know, I think it's, you know, awesome culture down there. So I shouldn't have any troubles.
I'm interested in, Mateus, there's been a real spruik about you as an X-factor player, someone that can really change a game. You've got a big, warm personality. You can even detect that talking to you now. How does that sit with you, that whole thing of potentially being a bit of a shaper, potentially, of a club into the future?
Yeah, well, if I could have any positive impact on the club, that, you know, that'd be awesome. But yeah, I think the main thing for me is, like I said, just putting in the work and, you know, hopefully that you know, the work that the other guys put in rubs off on me and I rub off on them. So, yeah, if I'm able to have a big impact, you know, on the club, that'd be awesome.
How would you describe yourself as a player? When you get a lot of the draft experts and the clubs sort of say plays like and all that sort of thing, but
yeah.
I'm interested, coming out of your own mouth, for the St Kilda fans out there listening to this, and the footy fans, what are we going to get?
Yeah, so I'm a taller midfielder. That's traditionally been what I was coming through as a junior. Played a bit of halfback and forward. More so forward in the last couple of years. I like to think I'm, you know, high impact per possession player. Can play inside and also a bit of outside as well. I think my outside game's, you know, improved quite a bit. Very competitive and wants to win all the time.
The word that's been labelled is X factor. Now, I had a lot of X factor back at school. Just a real dynamic sort of player. I get drawn to X factor, and that's what's labelled. You've got that label.
Yeah. It's a good label, definitely. I remember before one of the state games, Vic Metro, Tony Bamford, the SA coach, was pointing at a couple guys. And he was just saying X factor. So yeah, it's pretty cool to have that label. And I've still got to prove myself though. I haven't done anything yet, but yeah, it's definitely cool.
So when you're at home at the moment, you come back on Friday, I believe, to begin your life as a Saint. Who do you live with? What's it all look like?
I'm not sure. I think we sort all that out on Friday. But right. I was asking a million questions Tuesday night. They didn't have the answers to them, but yeah, I know I'm staying with players, but we'll have to find out.
Right, I see. Just get to the airport, we'll sort it out from there.
Yeah, I think so.
Right, that sounds okay. And tell us about Isaac Keeler too. He's another South Australian from North Adelaide that the Saints picked up. What's he got for us?
Yeah, well, the Saints, you know, I think got away with highway robbery last night, to be honest with you guys, but Keeler, yeah, Keels is, if you talk about X factor, he's definitely got more than me. So, you know, I think it's similar for him. It's just about getting over and putting the work in and you know, he'll be a terrific player. I know, you know, like I said, I've only been there for a day at the Saints, but the culture's great. And I think, you know, putting Keels into that environment, will, there's no way it doesn't get the best out of him.
There's a bit of Paddy Ryder about this man.
Is there?
Yeah. He's got... Yeah, reminded me a lot of him, actually. Well,
that's a good sign then for Saints fans going forward. We've been talking this morning, Mateus, a little bit off-Broadway for you, but get your take on it. For the first thing that we bought when we'd saved up our money and first real sort of meaningful thing we'd paid for our own cash with, what was that for you? Have you saved up for anything in your teenage years to buy something for the first time?
That's a great question. I think I'm probably going to say my Xbox. I haven't really saved too much money. I haven't worked yet. This is my first job. I'm going to have to... I'll get back to you on that, but at the moment, it's probably my Xbox.
Oh, I'm happy with that. That's a good purchase, a significant purchase for a young man.
Yeah, I like to think so.
What's your favourite game on Xbox?
At the moment, it's Fall Guys. Me and my mates just find it so funny, yeah.
Righto. So all the crazy kids out there are the playing Fall Guys at the moment on the Xbox. We wish you the best of luck, mate. Great to chat this morning. Looking forward to seeing you play. There's a bit of a spruik about you. So get yourself busy and fit in the preseason. Look forward to seeing you in Saints colours in 2023.
No, thanks, guys. Thanks again for having me on.
Good man, Matheus Philippou, pick 10 in the AFL draft to the Saints. He's back in Adelaide, returns on Friday. Doesn't know where he's going to live, but he'll come and just hang out for a bit somewhere, I imagine, and see what happens from there. Somebody will pick him up and take him somewhere.
He's good, isn't he?
Yeah, good kid. Good kid. Good on him. 14-8. We need to get to a break, Whitey. Yeah, Matty Griffin's going to join us after this, getting ready for the Australian Open. But I still want to get you starting 11 for the test today. Now, some feedback coming through off the SMS. Pre-game starts at 12:20. The first ball's at 1:20. And then there's another one saying coverage starts at 11:50. So
it depends on whether you're watching it on Channel 7 or Fox.
I don't know. Bloody hell. Anyway, around about midday, you can probably find it somewhere, is what we're saying. First ball is at 1:20.
I've got to find something to do with the kids today before the cricket.
Get him out at the Centre of Excellence. Just get him warmed up. Get him in the mood.
I'm thinking bowling.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. It's going to give me the mood.
Bowling into Pancake Parlour, then into the first ball of the cricket. That's like, that's a wonderful trifecta.
Righto, take your word for that.